Good morning, church. This morning's Bible reading is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35. That's Luke chapter 14, reading from verse 25. Large crowds were travelling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one who is coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and he will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is God's word.
Thanks, Angelo. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all, especially those who are visiting us this morning. Wonderful to have you. We're going to go through these words that we just read. And if you want to, you can keep that Bible reading open in front of you. But allow me to pray before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this season where we can remember our Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you don't call us to just look at him, but you call us to follow him. And this morning, help us to know what does that mean and how much would that cost us. So we thank you for your word, which does not lie. So help us to understand. Challenge us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, babe, for leading. I think I should do more children's talk, hey, so that you get the point through. I always think children's talks are the best because the adults get most of it, isn't it? They get most out of it. And our last couple of months, we have been thinking about this topic of following Jesus. What does it mean to be followers and witnesses of Jesus? Today we come to the last of our studies, and there's so many things that we can cover, but we don't want to spend a lot of time on this. But we're going to think about the cost of being a follower of Jesus, the cost of following Jesus. Now, in the early 1900s, there's this explorer called Ernest Shackleton. He set out to explore, to be the first man to cross the Antarctica from sea to sea. And to recruit people for his expedition, he put a newspaper advertisement like this. Have a read through that. "For hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success." What would you have done? Applied? No? I'm not sure how many applied, but Shackleton wasn't shying away from telling the truth, right? He wasn't hiding anything, was he? He wanted people to know the cost up front. He didn't want half-hearted, uncommitted men to be part of his expedition. And that's what the passage that we read this morning is talking about, isn't it? Jesus tells people quite upfront what it would cost them to follow him. Now, who are the people that were with Jesus? Who was the audience? Jesus is growing in popularity, isn't he? He's on the road again, and large crowds are traveling with Jesus. Now, it is interesting, isn't it? Luke, who is writing this book, is not saying a large crowd was following Jesus. Rather, they were traveling, they were accompanying Jesus. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about to be a follower of Jesus is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. Now, most of these people who were traveling, or this crowd, would have been expecting Jesus to do something for them. Maybe healing, cast out demons, to hear him speak, get some advice, maybe get some food, because he used to feed people as well. Maybe they have come with someone who actually believes in Jesus. Maybe some of them were curious, so they just wanted to check him out. Maybe see a miracle or two. Maybe some of them were just pure seekers. Maybe some of them were there to find fault in Jesus. But regardless, they were non-committed, non-loyal, unsettled, non-believers, weren't they? They're the ones who doesn't want to get into a lock-in contract. They just want to be able to move on to the next best thing. And turning to this large crowd of people, Jesus says, if anyone wants to come to me. Now pause here a moment. Jesus is not saying, if anyone wants to be a pastor, if anyone wants to be a missionary, if anyone wants to go to Bible college, if anyone wants to be a church leader. No, he doesn't say that, does he? No, he says, anyone and everyone who wants to come to me, anyone who wants to be a Christian, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, that is the audience that Jesus is talking to. Now, what does he say? What does he say? Now, a few months ago, we were watching this TV advertisement. You know, there are some channels that are dedicated for TV advertisements. And these advertisements go for like 10, 15 minutes. And we were watching this advertisement for an air cooler, right? And they were talking about how good it is, how cool it is, how powerful it is, the latest technology that it is employing, and then the customer reviews. And it was going on and on. Still, we didn't know how much it costs. Then as they were about to tell the cost, they said, wait, there is more. If you call right now, we're going to add another one. Buy two for one. And again, wait, there is more. If you call right now, we will do it free of cost, postage. Finally, after about 15 minutes, you got to hear the price, and you're like, why the hell we were listening to this all these 15 minutes? We wasted the time. Now, Jesus does the exact opposite, doesn't he? He tells the crowd right up front, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to follow me. The first cost is relational, isn't it? It's relational. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciples. Now, this is a hard saying, isn't it? And a lot of people have got stuck in the word hate here. Is Jesus asking us to hate our parents, our family members, our loved ones? No, he's not. Because if he did, he's contradicting himself and the whole of the Bible. So the Bible says God is love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And Jesus commands us to love one another. Husbands are to love their wives. We are to love the Lord, our neighbor, even our enemy. In fact, Christians are supposed to be the perfect role models of loving. So what Jesus is doing here is he's using this technique called the hyperbole, or a kind of accelerated kind of expression to get a point through. It's like someone saying, I'm so hungry that I could eat an elephant. Right? And this morning, we saw this cobweb outside, and they were saying, that's the biggest cobweb ever I have seen. Right? So when Jesus says, hate others, he's basically saying, love me more than anything else. Love me more than the person that you love the most, the thing you love the most. Jesus said it in this way in Matthew's gospel. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus never wants us to neglect our families. But neither does he want us to put our families or loved ones before him. There will come a time in our life when the people that we love the most will turn their back on Jesus. They will not love Jesus. They may even attack us because of our relationship with Jesus. They may disown us. They may distract us from loving Jesus. And at that point, we must decide who is more important to us. Will I sacrifice my commitment to family or friends for the sake of Christ? Or will I sacrifice my relationship with God for the sake of friends and family? As a Christian, friends, our commitment to Jesus must be stronger than our commitment to any other relationship, even if it means to be estranged from our own family. Now, this was indeed the case for the very first disciples, isn't it? You may remember when the first disciples were called, they left their boats, not just their businesses, but they left their father and their family behind to follow Jesus. Now, this is the story of Jaleem, a Fulani girl who gave her life to Jesus back in 2020. When her family discovered that she has found a new faith, they ridiculed her, harassed her, beat her, and eventually disowned her because she refused to give up her faith in Jesus. This is the story of Adele, a former Muslim. When his family found out that he was a Christian, he was locked up in a room, beaten, and threatened to kill him if he did not renounce his faith in Jesus. He was ready to release, but his whole family rejected him. And this is the story of Rumana, a 9-year-old girl in Bangladesh. Her whole family lost their house because the villagers burnt their house because they trusted in Jesus. And this is the story of Jenny, who ended her relationship with this long-term relationship she had with her boyfriend because he wasn't following Jesus. You see, friends, following Jesus will cost you relationally. And the second thing that we are told is that following Jesus will cost you in your identity. When you become a follower of Jesus, your identity needs to change. When you become a when you follow Jesus, you don't become a Baptist or an Anglican or a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Pentecostal. No, you become a Christian, a Christ one. Jesus continues, "Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." The cross here is not the pain that we might be going through because of a broken relationship. It's not our sickness. It's not not difficult kids. It's not a difficult spouse or a difficult neighbor. When Jesus talks about his followers carrying the cross, it meant to carry the identity of Jesus in us. You know, Apostle Paul, he wrote this beautiful thing. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." See, our old identity needs to be removed and replaced with the identity of Jesus. Our old ways of doing things, talking, thinking, attitudes, beliefs, need to change. The old needs to go because the new has come, and this could be quite painful for some people. Because it is a commitment to leave your old ways behind and a commitment to live the way Jesus wants us to live, isn't it? To love, to be kind, to forgive like Jesus. To serve like Jesus, to trust God like Jesus, to pray like Jesus. Now the Romans, who perfected crucifixion, made the persons who they were going to crucify carry the cross around the city. This was a display to tell everyone and anyone that this man was a dead man walking. He was a man who did not have any right over his life. Caesar and the Romans did. To carry the cross for a Christian then means to live as Jesus is our Lord, our boss, our King, that we have totally surrendered our lives to Jesus. To pray, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And carrying the cross also means be prepared to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel, just like Jesus did, just like the first disciples did. It means to be ready to be ridiculed, put to shame, face persecution, even face death, isn't it? Now try to imagine the 12 disciples. Now all this is happening. They're there with Jesus, right? And they're kind of looking at each other and mumbling. They're saying, "Ah, good one, Jesus." That's a great way to attract more people to your course, isn't it? That's a great strategy to increase numbers. I mean, you just literally blew up the best opportunity that we had to increase more people to our group. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them said, "Jesus, if I were you, I would list off all the benefits and the perks of following you. I would say life is going to be great. You will be healed. You will get a good job, a promotion. You might find a wife or a husband. You might be pregnant. You'll be very prosperous if you follow Jesus." Now, that doesn't mean we won't tell anything that is going to cost you. We will put that in the fine print. We will read it as fast as we can so that people won't understand. Now, aren't we glad that Jesus is not a salesman, not a recruiter? He's not about numbers. He's not about church growth. If he was, he would have had thousands and thousands of people by the end of his 3 years of ministry. He had only 12. He is a disciple maker. And he wants us to know the cost. Because following Jesus, friends, is much more than signing on a dotted line. It is more than being baptized or confirmed. It is more than going to a church once a week, tithing. It is more than praying every day or reading the Bible every day. It is a commitment to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do what Jesus did. Not just for one day, but for the rest of our lives. And it will be costly. You see, someone said, salvation is free, but discipleship is costly. And that's why he asked the crowd to count the cost. Because not to do that would be utter foolishness. And Jesus tells two parables, right, to illustrate this point. He says, don't be that person who goes to build a tower or a house without checking whether I have enough money to complete it. People will laugh at you because you started something and you couldn't finish it. Don't be the king who goes to war without checking whether I have enough soldiers to fight the enemy. Going to war with a weak army would be devastating and humiliating, isn't it? And what these two parables tell us is if you want to follow Jesus, you must be fully committed. Absolutely sure. Either you are fully in or fully out. There's no standing on the fence. Verse 33 makes it clear, isn't it? In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. It's not asking us to be poor. It's not asking us to let go of everything and then just live in the street. No, it's saying be prepared to let go of everything when the time comes for you to decide. Following Jesus will cost you everything, including your life. So consider the cost of following Jesus before you take the step. The cost is great, but Jesus says, still follow me. Still follow Jesus. He's not saying all of this to discourage us from following him. Rather, encourage us to know the cost before we start the journey so that we'll be ready. Because following Jesus is the only way forward for a Christian, isn't it? Jesus finishes this section by saying this another short parable. Talks about salt. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's fit for neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. One of the ways that Jesus describes Christians or disciples is salt, isn't it? We are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. Just like salt has a flavor, Christians have this distinct flavor. We are to be different from the rest of the world. But just like salt, Christians are effective only when they keep their distinctiveness. Because just like salt, Christians can lose our identity. If you're a cooking person, you would know if your dish is more salty, there are some hacks that you can do, right? You can add some raw potato slices to reduce the saltiness. You can add a bit more milk or water into the gravy if your curry is too salty. Or you can add a bit of acid like lime juice or something. Now what Jesus is saying is don't do that in your own life. Don't add anything. Don't add anything to your life. Keep your Christian distinctiveness. Keep your identity. But how do we keep our Christian identity? How do we keep the Christian distinctiveness? That can happen only if we are connected with Jesus, isn't it? if we are following Jesus by being disciples of Jesus. In other words, after telling the crowd it's going to cost, after telling the crowd, count the cost, Jesus invites them to follow him still. Because without following him, just like the salt became useless, we will become useless. Just like the salt without taste is thrown out, we will be thrown out. The cost is even greater, isn't it? The cost is eternal rejection. And that's why Jesus ends with these words that he always uses after saying something very important. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Let them hear. Because following Jesus will be costly. But it will be the best thing for all of us to do. See, the problem with Shackleton's advertisement is, with such a great cost, there was no guarantee of success, right? There was no guarantee of success. But when Jesus says there's a cost, huge cost, success is guaranteed, isn't it? And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, I have come to give life, life to the full. And those who follow Jesus will enjoy eternity with God. So the Apostle Paul, he writes this. He says, I consider that our present suffering, the cost that we are going through, they're not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us in eternity. Peter said the same thing, right? And the God of all grace who called us, called you to his eternal glory, that is the end. After you have suffered, after you have paid the cost for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. What these guys are saying is, following Jesus is more worth than the cost. Following Jesus and the reward that awaits, that's far greater than what we will suffer on earth. It's a bargain. So the question this morning is, if you haven't yet, will you follow Jesus? Will you be willing to bear the cost of following Jesus? Will you move from being part of the traveling crowd to become a follower of Jesus, who wants to be with him, to become like him, to do what he does? And if you are a follower of Jesus, most of you are, then keep following Jesus. Don't get distracted. Don't lose sight of the price, the goal. Don't be surprised of trials and temptations that might come your way. As Bev said, we don't know. We don't know what lies ahead in the new year, the next few years. But there may be a cost for all of us to pay for following Jesus. But be ready. Be ready. Just going to give us a couple of moments to reflect. Whatever you heard this morning, if God has spoken to you on something, just reflect on that. And maybe there are things that God wants you to apply to your own life. So take a couple of moments to do that, and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for reminding us the privilege that we have of being your children. Thank you for Jesus. So it is in him that we find our identity. It is in him that we find our value, our worth. And help us, Lord, to know not the cost. Although it is going to cost us so much compared to what you have done through Jesus, compared to what we will receive in Jesus in eternity. Help us to trust and follow Jesus, whatever the cost might be. Father, thank you for speaking to all of us this morning. Lord, you know where we are at. You know what we are struggling with. You know the price that some of us have had to pay, or the price that we might have to pay in the future for following Jesus. Help us. Be gracious to us, Father, we pray. And we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.